Hello, welcome to Creative Survival Podcast.
Wait, what?
Wait, what? Which one is this? Marshall, that was 14C. This is 14B for Art Grind.
Yes, right. Okay, so do I have to leave now?
I feel like, were you even at this interview, or did we not invite you again?
Nope. Movie night all over again.
So this is an interview from back when me and Tun were excluding Marshall. From
they thought one too many gingers in the room would make it explode.
That's right. That being said, I wish that you had been in the room because the interview was fantastic and you would have loved meeting Alonza Guevara.
Yeah, never met her. Thanks, guys.
I know, beautiful woman, beautiful painter, beautiful person.
Sure she is.
Yeah, we had a great time.
we had a really good time with that game, Marshall.
Good for you. I'm real happy about it.
You know, right before we interviewed Alonza, we just sat there drinking, going on about how we don't like Marshall Jones all that much. So this is another one of these podcasts that were, you know, the Creative Survival podcasts that were merging into Art Grind. For those of you who don't know Alonza's work, she just had a show at Anna Zorina Galleries that was mind-blowing and had these paintings and fruit sculpture installations. And she's also just has a really, really interesting life story. So here goes.
Enjoy.
All right, welcome back to Creative Survival, and we are going to talk to Alonza Guevara, who I actually lured here under false pretenses. We did an art trade, and because she is, so I now have an original Alonza in my collection, and she's an awesome artist.
And I have an original Dina Brodsky, so I'm pretty proud.
So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, who are you as a person, as an artist?
Not a nun, so many things. So I am an artist, basically painter, and I was born in Chile, in Rancagua, in a little city south of Santiago that is the capital. And I was born there, and I moved to Ecuador when I was 5, so I grew up... I was there for 7 years in Ecuador, very, inside of, jungly, a tropical forest in the jungle. I moved with my mom, dad, and my brother. My little sister was born there, and so we lived there for 7 years, and then I came back to Chile. So those were, my two countries. My dad actually still lives in Ecuador. And, I came back to Chile. I decided to start painting when I was 12. And
did you just say, I'm going to be a painter?
It's not that I decided. I always drew and, did little paintings and, things like that. But my grandma used to do a lot of sculptures. And then she started drawing a lot just by, hobby. And then she started, drawing and painting. And I loved to watch her do these things, and one time I asked her, can you show me how to do an oil paint? Because I always did acrylic and, you know, crayons and things that you do at school. And she showed me how to paint when I was 12. Her father was a carpenter, so she was like, let's do everything from scratch. We're going to build the canvas, we're going to cut the wood and stretch the... Do the whole skin rabbit glue to prepare the canvas.
Oh my god,
everything.
That's amazing! So your grandma actually knew kind of like traditional painting,
yes.
You know, rabbit skin glue gesso.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so she taught me everything since when I was 12, and then after that I kept wanting to learn more, and I would go every Sunday to her house and paint with her or draw with her.
And how did you go from that to being, you know, a pretty successful painter, in New York? What made you want to come here?
I decided to study art in Chile. So I did I studied art, I don't know how you say, a bachelor in art, in fine arts, yeah? So it was 4 years of undergrad, visual arts. And as soon as I graduated from Chile, I started... painting, just my own paintings a lot, and teaching at the same time. So that was my job. I will teach. I taught in schools and also in my own studio. So that was the way that I will make money. and also did a lot of commissions in that time. And, you know, to survive, people asking me to paint their cats, people asking me to paint their grandma with no wrinkles, like, you know.
I did years of, can you paint me something to just go over this couch? It's, yes. it's kind of green. It's a green couch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. I also had to do a lot of abstract work. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, people would send me pictures of their living room and where do they want the painting, how big, and just, like, do an abstract painting. We don't want anything, like, figurative at all. So I will do, like, crazy abstract work for really cheap also. Yeah. But
it was making money, which made you feel like you can... which made you feel like it is possible to survive as a painter.
Exactly. So that's what I did to make money. And then also, besides that, in my free time, I will paint my own paintings. And I will make my best to, like, to show them. Like, apply to exhibitions or, like, curated exhibitions too. Or just, like, send them to competitions. And that was what with my own work, which I didn't sell much. So, because it was, like, not decorative, you know? So it was more difficult. But I kept, like, working the same, not as much as I paint now, but it still I did work. Like, every year I did, like, a bunch of paintings anyways. So,
So you moved to New York to go to the New York Academy of Art.
Yeah. So I decided after 2 years of working in Chile, making some money, I really wanted to do a master degree, thinking that I wanted to teach. So I really wanted to teach in a school, like in a university, and I needed a master. So that was really my goal, and also to like have an experience outside and see how it would be to be an artist in another country. Because, you know, that's what I knew and what I learned about artists. That's it. I didn't know that I could be like any... like making work and then selling my real work. So I came to New York and I came to learn English first because I didn't speak English very well. So I came through a program, an au pair program, for 1 year first to live here.
So you're in a pair. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
how many kids were you in au pair?
It was crazy. So I came for like a whole year and I took care of 4 kids in this family in Connecticut. Which the oldest one was 4, then the other one was 2.5, and they were boys, and the girls were twins, and they were 9 months when I arrived.
I mean, that, by the way, seems insane.
The
fact that someone would even, you know, want to have a third child after, you know, like a year and a half having another, you know.
it was like, oh, so overwhelming, but I learned a lot, and I actually had fun. Like, I'm always, like, really positive and, like, I don't know, like, trying to find the good things about...
So, as an aside, Alonza is a lot of fun. She just, you know, before we started recording, she just gave my toddler more fun than he had
I love kids. That's the thing. And I actually knew that I was going to, with that family. They told me that they had 4 kids. And I had the chance to say no next.
Yeah,
and, like, choose another family. But I was like, I love twins, so I want to, like, work with them. And
I guess so, that's a good word. Four children under 4 is I'm not sure what you can face in the art world.
The only thing I wanted, actually, I didn't want about these kids is that I wanted to learn English. So, and they were so young that I couldn't, you know, practice much, but I talked to the mother, I read books all the time to them, and then I had friends, of course, that will help me with that. But
and how much were you getting paid at this time?
I was getting paid just $200 a week, working 45 hours a week.
So you're incredibly resilient.
So it was like nothing. It was nothing. But of course, I lived in the house, and I was able to eat whatever I wanted. Like, they will ask me, like, what do you want us to buy, and they will get it for me.
And did you have time to make any work during this time?
I did, but so little. I mean, imagine, it's 45
I,
hours.
I actually can't imagine. I have one child, and I barely find time to paint.
Yeah, I couldn't find time to paint at the beginning, to be honest, because I didn't have... I wasn't used to this whole work. I would finish, eat, talk in Skype with my mom and boyfriend that I had in that time, and just passed out. Like, I was, and then at the end, like at the half of that year, I started painting and getting like schedule. Even I did commissions and I did little paintings all the time, small work that I could sell, hopefully at the end.
And how did you find the energy to even do that after spending all day with, you know?
I don't know. I think, well, I work all the time before painting every day. So it's something that I missed so much. Even when I started painting, I felt like I forgot how to paint. Like my hands felt like,
no,
weird.
I know that. I feel like every time I take a break, even if it's 2 weeks, I there's like a day or two when you're like, I don't remember how to do this anymore.
Yeah, that happened to me because I didn't paint for a long time. And so what I did was, like, one day I decided, immediately as soon as I got to that house, I went to the hardware store and bought wood. And the father of the kids had, like, all the tools that I needed to build myself an easel. So, because my grandma taught me how to build easels. Yeah, so I was like, I'm going to build myself an easel. And they let me use the basement to do whatever I wanted, to paint whatever I wanted. So I built myself an easel. And immediately, as soon as I got there, I started finding time to paint. But I'm just talking about very little time because I passed out, as I said. But after then, I was like, really good. I will paint like at least 3 hours a day after taking care of the kids, or in the middle sometimes. And or sometimes not every day, but like,
but just something.
And, something,
and
yes.
And you were selling it, and you could see the people's, you know,
yeah.
People wanted what you made.
I made commissions that those are I sold, and the other little ones, because I got here in February, I waited until the end of the year, and I sold them for like Christmas, like little Christmas paintings, to other parents of other kids, like the, because I made friends with the other au pairs, the other babysitters, so. So we could,
and
like,
they knew that you painted.
And they were like, my friend is an artist. And I was like, yeah, like, here are my work. So it was difficult, though, but I did
my best. I so admire you for doing that. So you did that for a year?
For a year, while I was, because, you know, I learned English. My English got better at the second semester. And I joined the continuing education classes at the academy, at the New York Academy. And I took two classes there, one painting, one drawing class.
Who were your teachers?
It was Mike Smith, my painting teacher. I took a portrait class with him. So good.
Mike is great. He was in our class.
Yeah.
Me and Tom used to get drunk with Mike and dance with anatomical skeletons.
No, he was so good and so patient also. Like, that was my first class and I loved it. And yeah, he was really good, and he was patient with me, but my English wasn't good. It wasn't that good, so I would be like, can you write... He would tell me names of something, and I was, can you write it down or repeat that? I don't know. So I learned a lot. And then I loved the school. I would, like, go do some tours around, see the other, like, students.
And the year after you were there as a full-time student.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, that time I started, like, putting together my stuff to apply and learned a lot of English, took classes and did the TOEFL because I had to do this test. And, yeah, and I applied before leaving because I had to go back to Chile. So I went back to Chile, I applied, and when I was there, I got the letter saying that I got accepted. So I was like, yeah. Next year, then I came back and like joined.
And what were your 2 years? So Alonzo went on to become a third year at the academy. What were your 2 years at the academy like?
Oof. Well, my first year, it was very overwhelming. I was not used to draw from life that much. Like in my school, we used pictures a lot. We did have classes of drawing from life, but a lot of pictures, and even like the teachers will teach us how to project. Like, not that it didn't matter that much if you knew how to draw or not. We did have classes, but then you can use whatever you need to make great art. That's what they would always say. So I will see all my classmates that they were like incredible, like drawing everything so, like, perfect, proportional, and my thing was, like, big head, like, long legs.
That's what it feels like. So I remember my first day, mm-hmm. which is actually when me and Tan Yang was recording this, mm-hmm. Met. So I remember sitting down just next to someone during our first lecture, and I was drawing something in my little sketchbook, mm-hmm. and he was like, I have a sketchbook, too, and he pulled it out, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely incredible, and I was like, oh my God, if everyone's this good, I don't think I could stay here. I think I should drop out. I think I should leave New York and just go back where I came. My whole first year, it felt like everyone was so much better than me.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I felt. Like, I, in all those classes, and, like, I felt like I didn't know anything about anything. Like, I felt so small when my first year, like,
I had a teacher that who I respected very much, and she was an enormously good teacher. Her name was Martha Erlbacher. She unfortunately died a few years before.
Yeah, you were lucky to have her.
She was amazing, but she once basically told me I knew nothing about anything in public. And, she said, she was looking at a figure study I was working on. She's like, you really don't understand form very well, do you? And I was like, probably not. And she's like, oh, yeah, and light and shadow, you really don't understand much about that either. And and she's like, on color, your color is just terrible. And she went on like that for maybe 15 minutes, dissecting every bit of this painting. And by then, I had tears in my eyes, and I wanted so much for her to just like me.
Of course.
I think she did like me. I think she just wasn't impressed with my work.
She definitely wasn't impressed. Oh my God, that's terrible.
I learned so much from her, despite the fact that she's made me cry.
I mean, I'm saying that's terrible because I've never heard anybody here in America to be so rough with someone. I felt the opposite. I felt the teachers were so nice.
I think the academy got a lot more kind of warm and cuddly by the time you were there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never heard anybody. Everybody, like, at least all the teachers I had were, like, really positive all the time. They will tell me, like, this is not working because of this, but, like, really...
And nice. so you felt like you were being kind of technically taught very well, and
I felt like I never learned how to draw from life. That's how I felt. Like, I, like, my drawings were, like, totally deformed at all. And I would compare myself with the rest, of course. Mm-hmm. So I feel, and I always have feel very, like, strong in color. So I would be very... Like, for example, we had a drawing class, and every you could use whatever tool you wanted, and everyone would use a pencil, and I had color pencils. And then I would feel, like, comfortable, you know, and, like, very, like, oh, like, you know, like, long, so I could, like, do a lot of shadow, and I would feel like I'm painting. And the drawing wasn't bad, but it's just, like... Like, for me, having the tool of color, it will make me feel more comfortable.
I'm totally with you. I felt like I didn't know how to draw at all, and I think I'm just now starting to feel like I'm finally getting a grip on drawing. That school gives you kind of an amazing technical foundation. I bet by the end of your second year, you were like you felt like you knew how to draw.
And also like the continuing education class. Taught me a lot too, because I took the drawing class in portrait. I could see other people, but the difference between the students that went to that continuing education class with the master program is, like, really different. So my classmates in the master program were, like, really amazing, and I got better, like, by practicing a lot. It's just like an eye training thing, but I felt bad. And also we had so many homeworks that you had to paint everything half-assed.
I remember, I think I just didn't have a life for two years. I would go in when the school opened, and I would leave when it closed, and weekends I'd spend doing homework. I didn't really make any friends, because I think, only later on did I find out that my classmates were fantastic, both as artists and as people, and I'm really good friends with a lot of them now.
Yeah.
But back then, I basically made no friends, because all I was doing was, learning how to, measure the...
My whole first year, I used to live in Connecticut, in Stamford. So I will wake up so early to get the train and arrive at the academy at 9. So imagine, it would take me 2 hours.
And then 2 hours back.
That whole year, I will leave at 10 p.m., so then I will not be home so late. Like, I will get home, like, I don't know, at 12:30, around that time. But that first year, and then I moved to New York. And then I will feel the same thing. I will, like, just be there at the beginning and leave at the end. But I have to say that for me, it was the opposite. Like, I made so many friends. And, like, I had a really close relationship with friends that made me feel, like, home also, because I'm really close to my family. And we have, I have tons of cousins, my brother, my sister, my mom, and we're like I used to have friends in a close community, so living here far away and like being by myself, it was tough. So I built this awesome relationship. We'll drink, like we'll leave the academy, go drink and like have fun, go dancing with these friends. It was crazy. I didn't sleep at all. I will paint the whole time. All my friends will stay until really late, and even like they will go like, okay, Alonso, are you done? And I'm like, okay, one more. And they're like, okay, we're waiting, and then they will wait for me.
One more fruit.
Yeah, one more strawberry. And then especially at the fellowship, when I had the fellowship, I became really good friends of that whole second year, and it was like awesome. We will even like have like fourth floor like taken, you know, we wanted to build like shirts saying fourth floor, like, and we still are really good friends.
That's fantastic.
So
you went on to become a third year, and then so I feel like the way we were taught things would happen, which happened very, you know, to very few people, at least, you know, when I was in graduate school, is, you know, you go to school and then you maybe do a residency, you know, if you're lucky, third year, and then you just get a gallery and maybe a college teaching job.
Yeah.
So Alonso is one of the few people for whom this actually, you know, this actually happened.
Yeah.
So you found a gallery, or more like a gallery found you right out of your third year,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. It was exactly like when I was finishing the fellowship. This gallery, Anna Sorina Gallery, contacted me to have a group show. Immediately I was like, of course. And I had so many paintings to do because of the fellow show. And I said yes to them. And that was like the most crazy time for me, like working like until so late. I didn't get any sleep and I finished those pieces. I wanted to take that opportunity really bad. So I accepted. And then they offered me a solo show after. And a whole next year I had to work on those paintings, and they're like
that's amazing. Like, I mean, it gave you a deadline, and like,
yeah,
you got out of school, and instead of waitressing or any of the other kind of things that most people do, so, and the shows would sell enough to make it possible for you.
Yeah, well, and also like, if I think about it, if I didn't have any money, I couldn't have just say yes and work as an artist full time. You know, you have to make money anyways. But I was really lucky to sell some paintings at the fellow show in that time immediately that will pay my rent for the next year until the next show. So I was just crossing my fingers, like, hopefully I sell something in this future show. And then I will sell little things, and I start teaching also. Like, I work the whole time when I was in the fellowship. I worked, it's so funny, I worked that whole year in this, like, sip and paint. Things, you know, like where like random people just decide to that they want to paint, and they bring their alcohol and they make a silly painting, like a Monet painting. So I work a whole year doing that and doing my paintings at the same time. But then when I sold my work, I was able to just focus on being like a full-time artist. And then in my solo show, I sold some pieces.
Yeah, that's a gift, like being able to fully. So I didn't have to work, you know, through grad school, and I would do these shows like I would paint basically an entire still life show during, you know, the summer, and that was back when things were selling pretty consistently before before the economy crashed, and then they, at least mine, weren't for a while, but that would sell, and that would give me enough money to basically not have to work through school. And I think that was such a gift to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to fully concentrate, because I remember people who were waking up at 5 in the morning and, I don't know, working in a bakery or like doing something for 2 hours and then getting to school, and by, you know, noon they were tired, and I didn't really realize how privileged I was just to have that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just luck. I mean, you know, like people say,
but you also seem to be incredibly hardworking.
No, but I know so many people that are like really hardworking, the same than me or even more, and it's to be honest, I mean, we can't it's not just like you deserve it, because
a lot of it is luck.
I mean, that I found that this gallery found me, and I did so many things, like writing emails to galleries, I don't know, asking someone to show my work in some place. Like, so many things, and nothing worked. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And then this gallery just contacted me. So, like, you know, it happened. They happened to see my work, and they happened to see other people's work, and, like, in the academy. And in that academy, there's so many awesome artists. And, like, she saw my work and liked it. So I think it's a lot of luck and taste and, you know, right place in the right.
Part of it is luck, but I feel like without kind of, you know, like, you seem so resilient. Like, you could paint 3 hours after spending all day
I have to say that if I didn't have a gallery, for sure I will paint and do something to, like, you know, to be able to keep painting. But, yeah, so I for sure, that's right. I mean, I will keep working and try to find out, like, the same way I did it before. But it's like, it's so, like, I'm so grateful that I have this that make me, like, you know, just not think about
paying rent all the time.
Although it's not that much money, so it's like very, like, tight, but in a good way, because if it was too much, I would be like, oh, I have money for 2 more years, and then, but no, it always is like a little bit of pressure of me, like, being okay, I have exactly the amount of money to pay rent, but how about my food and my trips that I want to do? So then it keeps me, like, being, like, more, you know, active to, like, try to contact people to sell, or, like, I don't know, do more things.
And so your boyfriend is also an artist.
Yeah.
And you guys share you know.
Studio. We have been sharing studio for, like, 4 years, and we've been together 3 years. Sharing a studio, I mean, because he was in front of me.
To this relationship.
Yeah, yes. In the academy, he was in front of me. In my, you know, that the studios are open, so he was there.
It's funny because me and Tun over here shared a studio for, you know, throughout the academy, and we almost killed each other. Never mind,
oh,
you know.
Really? What? Well, it happened.
Take your time. You can talk
moved
a bit.
To, she made me move out to a basement in New Jersey.
I just, you know, yeah, my charming personality drove him out to New Jersey.
Diploma piece just kind of took over our little studio space.
Uh-huh.
It just kept getting bigger and bigger.
And you had to go, like, you were like, okay.
And I mean,
I don't have.
We were sharing tiny studio spaces.
Oh, I know.
And,
how it is, yeah.
And my diploma piece, I mean, I set up this gigantic still life setup where I start dragging in, like, basically, like, junk off the street and taxidermized animals and, like, I don't know, pieces of fruit that might have been rotting in there.
Oh,
plus
my God.
Plus, I was living in. Living in this basically closet in Crown Heights where I had a sleeping bag. I didn't have bed sheets the whole year or a blanket. I slept in a sleeping bag, and I had two plastic containers, and one of them I used for tea, and the other one I used for, like, some sort of cereal, like for food. So all of my stuff was in this. I think what really drove Tun out was my undergarments strewn all over the place.
I remember coming in one day, like, what is that smell? And then I went into the studio, and I think she was drying her socks on one of the lights.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So confident.
Like, oh, this is home.
So, in any case, you and James must really love each other, you know? Because, yeah, they, not all studio mate, relationships lead to.
Yeah, that's good. Well,
and
you know.
And I think we got practice at tolerating each other's idiosyncrasies. So.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's so funny. No, we never had it. I mean, we had our own space because I was second year, he was a first year, so he will share a studio in front of me with another student. And I have my own space, but it's open, so we were in front of each other. But no, I mean, I didn't even talk to him the whole first year at all. He was there, we'll say hi, but we were not friends. And then the second year, we started becoming friends. And I needed to paint, so I would just be painting, wearing my headphones, and then we will talk sometimes, and then we'll start, like, going out, and, like, we met there, but, like, I would be really focused on my paintings. And now that we share a studio, like, after we graduated and after we started dating, I don't know, we both have this, like, we used to have the same space, but each of us work, you know, quietly. It's not like a chatty, no. And sometimes we're like, we listen to podcasts together while we paint. We're in a mood that we don't need to think that much. You know, when you start, like, wondering too much and you're not figuring out anything. we listen to podcasts together or like, I don't know, music usually. But no, we have a pretty great situation. Sometimes with the music is like, can you please stop playing that Latin American music? And I'm like, okay, we just try to like, you know, do something comfortable for both. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. And but no, and now in the new studio that we have, they there is a wall in between, and they has a big door that opens up.
Oh, that's the perfect relationship.
So it's like a big space, but we can close those doors whenever we want. Yeah. And yeah, so he has his own space, and I have my own, and works great.
So for a while, you guys ran a gallery and like an art space. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So we started this gallery as soon as he graduated. And I left the academy as a fellow, and it was a small gallery, and it was this was the plan, to have a big studio space where we could show work of our friends and like the people, the artists around the neighborhood in Bay Ridge. So it was very difficult because we were painting there and at the same time in one wall, and the rest of the gallery was to show. So we did a lot of shows of, like, first with people from around the neighborhood. So we got to know a lot of artists from Bay Ridge. And a lot of people that studied at the academy lived in Bay Ridge, like a huge community. So they were part of this show, too. And then we did other different shows after that. And it was really difficult to, like, just to deal with like all the things that means to be a curator and like receiving work and be a gallery owner and the sales.
Having to reject work. And,
exactly. And having to reject work. Like, we got people.
And you seem like a really sweet person. I feel like it's hard for you.
Yeah,
to
it
say
was so hard. And like, even like James was like, "What are you? Who is this artist?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's a lady that came. A lady came that same day of the show and brought her artwork." And we already had the flyers and everything. She's like, "But my painting, I really want from the neighborhood." And how can I say no to that? I can't.
You can't.
And we had everything. Everything was figured out where to hang. But she came really, you know, hopeful. And I don't have that heart to be like, no, I'm so sorry. And I even tried. But at the end, I was like, okay, we'll find a place. Give me your name. And I was like, the only thing we can do is to add your name on the flyer because it's already printed. She was like, oh, it's fine. We hanged it. And the next thing I get in the next morning, this lady emails me and she tells me, my name is not in the flyer. All this, like, you know, like, I gave you my painting and my name is not in the flyer. And I'm like, but I told you yesterday. She was crazy. Like, we deal with her, like, in so many other ways. She ended up being, like, a little, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, and I didn't know.
A little so, crazy ghost onto the gallery.
Yeah, she would go to the gallery and knock at the door, like, all the time.
So galleries attract, I know this because the first gallery experience I ever had, I used to be one of these people that would walk into galleries with paintings. I was in Boston, and one time this gallery, actually, they said yes. Mm-hmm. And I was maybe 20, and I was like, I'm an artist. I'm an exhibiting artist.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got, that was my, like I got lucky. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a guy who was really nice, just started this place.
Yeah.
Wasn't very, I mean, I mean, he wasn't following a classical gallery model.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
That's the only way to put it. But he took me in and this thing sold, but one of the, you know, he didn't really have staff working in that gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So every once in a while, I'd come drop something off or pick up a check, and he'd be like, could you just kind of babysit the gallery for the next three hours? And so I'd be there by myself for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of crazy people that walked in with their portfolio was insane. And I would say, like, I'm just one of the artists. Like, I don't make any decisions.
Yeah.
Which I didn't. And they're like, well, look at my work anyway.
Yeah.
And they would pull out backpacks and unroll, you know, canvases.
Oh, their actual work they
yeah,
were bringing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Never mind, like, leaving just stacks of portfolio. And that was just, yeah, like, it was a young gallery.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well, yeah, that, like, well, one person brought their actual work. I mean, this lady and another person, like, in a random day, he started, like showing us his work in the phone. And this is like, by the way, I have my piece in the car. I'm gonna go get it. And then like James was like, listen, no. We're not looking at work right now. We need to go back to work. So thank you for coming. Give us your email, and then we could your website. We can really look it up whenever we are looking up for artists. And then that's what we would do. Like, other artists will come and we'll write their names and their emails and website. This way we can actually see, because you never know if someone is good or not. But
some of them were good actually, but
we were not doing any more shows after. Like, I decided, I was like, I can't have a public space in my studio, because you know I'm painting and then people will like come in. We did the shows as like just by appointment only, and the last shows, and then after that we were like, no more, just let's keep doing the classes. That we were also teaching classes at the space, so it was that was the best part.
So the way the two of you are surviving right now, you're selling work and you're teaching classes.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You haven't even been out of school for all that long, but you're doing what everyone dreams of doing.
James does, also he works in a, he has a part-time job where he paints murals in the city, like advertising, like those hyper-realistic murals of like whiskeys or things like that in a company, and he's painting also, so he's really good. So he does that like maybe 1 week a month. It's not much, so he can really focus on his paintings too.
That's actually really, really inspiring. And so, what would I don't know? I feel like some of the people listening to this are probably most of the people listening to this are probably other artists. Mm-hmm. So, if you could, like, turn back the clock and go back to your, or maybe just get a time machine or something, and go back to Alonza, age 18.
Yeah.
What would you tell that person, like the?
Oh, to myself?
Yeah, to you, you know, to you, however many, however many years.
I don't know.
But like what kind of advice do you wish someone gave you that, because we're all kind of figuring everything out on our own, right? Like, there doesn't seem to be much of a master plan at that.
You know, I never thought about that, but I always have this wish on my mind of, like, when I wish before I studied art at my school, I knew a little bit more about art, because I didn't know anything. So I feel like part of me like wasted those 4 years of, like, especially in art history, because it was like all this information that I had no idea. Like, I never had any background. Imagine I lived in the jungle for 7 years. I had no idea about anything. I didn't even know how to read. I read my first book when I was 13. And like very slow. I didn't even finish it.
You seem really literate right now.
Well, I learn fast. I don't know what to tell you, but I was really difficult, like doing things and being happy. But like I don't want to call myself naive, because it's like it sounds like a little bad. But I've been always like more in that side of like, I don't even want to know things. I prefer to just be like this, happy, and like I felt like. Because it was like so, like I didn't know so much because living in Ecuador and everything and not being like pay attention to many things, I went to a very good school in Chile that I trained really well, learned very fast. So I got a very good score in those tests that you do when you're a teen to go to universities. And I got a scholarship to go to art school, like that the government will pay for, like half of it, pay for it. But yeah, because I study a lot and I got good scores at those tests in math. I don't know why that school, the art school, asked for a lot of math in the points, and I was really good at math.
Measuring your canvases.
Yeah, probably. So and like math. So I was really good at math, and I got to that school, and that's the only thing I knew, like math, and like I don't know. I love music, and like I knew how to draw, but I didn't know anything about history or like artist at all. So for me, like, if I could choose what to change, it would be just to have a little bit more background to really learn all the things, because the teachers there were so good, and I felt like that those things like passed, like I just passed the classes, like really like scratching, you know, like almost failing.
You know, I'm actually, I just thought of this, but in retrospect, I also didn't, for different reasons, I wasn't growing up in the jungle, but I was also not studying very hard and kind of
failing as many things that were not art related as possible. Mm-hmm. So I also ended up not knowing very much about very much.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, one of the things I'm kind of happy about is actually that there's so much I didn't know about the art world,
mm-hmm.
that I almost, like, I think if I knew more, I would have been like, I'll just be a biologist, or, like, you know, I'm going to go into something else. Like,
yeah.
if I knew how hard it would be and how long it would take and how much you actually have to know,
yeah.
I probably would have gotten scared and not done it. But because I didn't know much about much, I was like, of course, I'm going to be an artist.
Yeah.
I'm going to live in New York and be an artist.
No,
so I think in a way, like, my ignorance kind of almost, like, saved me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm happy all the time to be learning new things. About the art world, I had no idea. And I'm learning.
I still have no idea.
And I prefer to, like I know it's getting uglier and uglier. Every time I know a little bit more, I'm like, I'm happy. Let's just, like, give my paintings to my gallery. They sell and I'm fine, you know. Like, but I don't know. For me, it's more just about, like, the fact of knowing more about art. I would have loved to know more, but I cannot even imagine myself being something else than not an artist. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so bad at everything else.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
I would
the one thing that I considered at some mm-hmm. point was being a biologist, because I really liked animals,
yeah.
which is not
yeah.
what being a biologist
yeah.
is all about. And then I realized that you have to actually take chemistry in order to
do
that. And so I tried, and
yeah.
I failed it in school. And then I took summer school chemistry, which is basically
mm-hmm.
remedial chemistry. Like, it doesn't get much easier than summer school chemistry. And then I ended up failing that too. And then I was like, I don't think this biology thing is going to happen for me. But, so
no.
yeah, if it wasn't for art, like what would you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, I know. I thought about studying engineer, because I was really good at math, and, you know, when you have better score at something, you think that's
maybe I'm good at that.
Yeah,
maybe,
and
maybe
all my
I
teachers
would
tell me, like, oh, you're so good, you should do that. And in biology also, I was really good at that score. Like, my worst scores were history and Spanish. Like, you know, like, it seemed like I didn't know, like, spelling, and it was terrible. I couldn't. I don't know, it was not that good. And so biology and math, it was my thing. So I thought about nurse, or because doctor was, like, too difficult. My brother was a doctor. He is a doctor. And I don't know, I thought about studying music, that I always liked to play instruments and sing. So I found it, like, I always thought about, I want to study 4 years or whatever years in something that I'm happy and that I can keep doing and keep being happy. So... And I never imagined myself in a desk or doing anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just all bad planning. I mean, it wasn't even that I knew that I would be able to become a painter. It was everything else. Like, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I mean, else for 12 hours a day.
Yeah. No. Actually, now that I think, when I was a little girl, like really young, everybody will ask me at school, like, you know, the common question, what do you want to do when you're older? And what I wanted to be, always a nanny. That's
Wait,
what
really?
I always, yeah. I was like, I want to be a nanny, because it's easy. You're just at home and clean things and take care of your kids. And everybody was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, it's just easy.
I
like my nanny, so I was like, that's just cool. So.
I remember what I wanted to be at that age, too, when people asked me what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a wolf.
Oh,
I was,
my God. That's a cool answer.
I was pretty sure that I could make it happen, and that by kind of, like, eating enough, you know, like things that came from the forest, or learning how to hunt. Or, by the way, I grew up in Minsk, which is this kind of post-industrial, like I barely ever even saw a forest, but, you know, a wolf was what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, good thing I ended up finding, you know, finding painting.
Oh,
then.
Yeah.
Or else my other dream would have been really disappointing. Then.
Oh, that's funny. I don't know. I wanted to, if I had to choose what animal to be, I wanted to be a cat. Always, because, you know, they're like, do whatever they want.
That's true. Like that,
they
like
can
the,
be free, you know.
Like that Kipling story, you know, the cat that walks by itself, or whatever the name
no,
is in English.
Oh, that's like
the
pussy cat. Oh my God, no. What is it? Cat in boots?
So I think that's a different one.
Okay. I don't know which one.
So right now you're kind of about where, I mean, it honestly, it sounds like you work hard and the like life is, you know, here, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Just kind of working at what do you see in the future? Kind of what do you want from the future?
To be honest, right now I'm like great. I don't. It's funny because a lot of people think that I like when you sell work, it's just like you have a living and you can make a living. For me, it's very like, to be very honest, it's just rough. Like the amount of money that I make, and I can make a good living, but like that. And with that, I'm happy. Like I'm like very, I don't spend much money, like really in traveling to go see my family is the most money I spend. But like, I don't, even in food, I don't eat meat. I'm a, like kind of vegetarian. So it's like, and I wear whatever I can, you know, like to feel comfortable, look fine. But like, I will just love to keep having this and not less. So I don't have like, so I can keep painting. If it comes more, great. But this is great. I just want to keep I want to be able to keep painting and showing my work, even if it's in Instagram, how I do it all the time, or in galleries or whatever. But just being able to keep painting. I mean, I don't imagine anything. And I would love to have babies soon. That's it.
even after watching my son chuck water, on the floor over and over again.
Yeah, that's it. I see myself as, I mean, if I can like imagine myself in like later, I see myself as a grandmother with all my grandchilds, telling them stories and making them laugh or like scaring them. Like this is like a wish that I see more than like having a painting in the MoMA or like, I don't know. That's like a real thought that I always have.
Yeah.
And that makes me really happy. Like if I can have that.
Yeah, and if you can have that and make some paintings too.
Maybe
have a painting of the MoMA too.
Yeah, also, who knows?
Just because we have kids doesn't mean that, you know.
Yeah, no, but I know, I feel like that's it. I mean, just to keep painting and and just being able to make work that is like free, like my own, and not have to paint things for other people also. That would be great.
Alonzo, thank you so much. Like, and thank you so much for coming here.
Of course, my pleasure.
Walking on like a wet floor.
Oh, I love playing with him anyway.
Yeah, and you will be, you know, you're an amazing painter already. From what I've seen of you as children, you will be amazing at that. Plus, you managed to survive creatively as a person, and an artist taking care of four of them.
Oh my god, yeah.
And getting paid $4 an hour, which actually sounds like good preparation for motherhood.
I know. Well, yeah, it's like free. Well, soon you have to give me some information of how to be an artist and like take care of kids, hopefully, if I happen to.
That'll be another podcast.
Yes. I bring my baby.
You'll bring your baby. Your baby's going to be perfectly behaved, right? Unlike mine, right?
Yeah, red hairs are not really easy to deal with.
And then I'll give you hopefully cheerful, optimistic information rather than gloomy, demoralizing. Oh, Alonzo, you'll never paint again.
Oh my god.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Creative survival. This is Alonzo, and she survives creatively.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Art Grind podcast. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, we're on Instagram at Art Grind Podcast. You can leave comments on the thread or DM us there. We usually see them. Also, Facebook, we're at Art Grind Podcast. You can leave comments, future questions for our guest and such there. Our website is www.artgrindpodcast.com.
Definitely go there for the beautiful images that we post of the artist. And don't be shy to donate us money so we could buy some really good booze for the guests.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.